right, now we got the slides situated. Good morning and welcome to our Sunday morning worship service. We're glad to have everybody here today. We have Potluck Sunday upon us, and so hope you're making your plans to stay with us for that. Appreciate John David filling in here at the last minute for Tyler and leading our songs this morning. And we're going to key off of those and go right into our lesson here. We've been thinking about Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, which gives us a command in the New Testament. Think on these things. And we've been talking about our thinking and how important it is that we control our thinking. Our thinking controls our life. If we have our thinking under control, our lives will be under control as well. Well, when we look at this list, there's so many good things to think about in this world. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And we've been going through this list, true, noble, just, pure, and today we're going to talk about things that are lovely. And remember, the Bible exhorts us to focus upon what is in our heart. And the Bible heart is not this blood pump that I have in my chest. The Bible heart is my thoughts and my emotions and who I am as a person. And God commands us to keep our hearts with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Proverbs 4 and verse 23. And so this morning we're going to think on things that are lovely. And what does it mean to think on things that are lovely? You know, I think we hear the word lovely today and we think, well, things that are pleasing, things that are beautiful. But this word lovely, it comes from this Greek word prosphiles. And it's the idea of being agreeable or pleasant or beloved. Things that are lovely. And this is talking about spiritual matters, of course. The notion is that our thoughts and our actions are not disturbing or distasteful or ugly. You know, sometimes people in this world can be very ugly with their behavior. Well, God doesn't want us to be ugly in our behavior. He wants us to be lovely. And this command of God to think on these things is important. We need to think on things that are lovely. And how do we do that? So we're going to talk about three things. First of all, we need to focus on the positive. Second, we've got to change our thinking away from, you know, ugly things to lovely things. And then finally, we want to model exemplary behavior. Think on things that are lovely. First of all, we need to focus on the positive. Where is our focus? So many things in this world vie for our attention. They compete with the things that God wants us to be focusing on. On the one hand, we have politics and entertainment of all kinds. And then the culture is always demanding that we conform to it. On the other hand, we've got the Bible. We've got God and Jesus Christ, the church, which is our spiritual family. And then, of course, we have our nuclear families as well that we want to be involved with and be focused on in a spiritual way. And so to think on things that are lovely, you know, we've got to take our focus off of some of these things that are not lovely, these things that are kind of ugly, if you will. And we need to move our focus into a different direction. How is your prayer life? Have you prayed recently? We need our prayer life to be great. We need to be constantly talking to God about our lives and what how we want to serve Him in our life. What about studying God's Word? Is that something that we do on a regular basis, you know, not just in the assembly, but then also in our own private time? Do we read God's Word? Do we study the Bible? How involved are we with God's people, the church? And is our involvement enough? Do we involve ourselves more in secular activities than we do in spiritual activities? These are questions that we need to ask ourselves as we think about focusing on lovely things. It's got to start with me and my life and how I order my life. How are your daily decisions? Are they spiritually informed? Are they decisions that God would be proud of? Do we prioritize spiritual activities over other things? We have a wonderful song in our songbook called Higher Ground, and I love that song. It's a great song, and it has some great lyrics in it. And as we think about one of those stanzas in this song, it has these thoughts. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. And that's really what thinking on things that are lovely is all about. We have this world and the doubts and the fears and the dismay that's within it. And we can choose to focus on that, and then we will be filled with doubts and fears and dismay. Or, and that's what the song says, some may dwell where these abound. But what are we going to dwell on? Our prayer, our aim is going to be higher ground, not focusing on these things, but focusing on better things. And the rest of that song that goes, Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher place than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. And that's where we want to be, on higher ground, because that's going to get us away from focusing on ugly things. God gives us great direction in our lives for how to focus on lovely things. Psalm 91 and verse 14 says this, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high. I love that expression. I will set him on high because he has known my name. And this is God speaking through the psalmist here. Those who love God, set their love on God, God is going to set them up high in a high place. And that's not talking about political power. That's not talking about having authority over people in the office or anything like that. No. What is it talking about? It's talking about us being in a place of high dwelling where we are focusing on good things. We think about this song. It reminds me also of Colossians chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2, where we read, if then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. We've got to constantly be moving our thoughts away from these earthly, carnal, temporal concerns and moving them toward a higher place, the heavenly, the eternal, the spiritual concerns. That is what it means to think on things that are lovely. Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21, Jesus says, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. You know, sometimes we wonder, as we are focusing on spiritual things and we're seeing a world just steeped in carnal things and how much attention those carnal things receive. We wonder sometimes, how much good are we doing? But you know, God knows. And one day, we'll get to heaven. If we've been focusing on these spiritual matters, if we've been focusing on what's eternal, what's important, what's real, we'll get to heaven. And metaphorically speaking, there's going to be a pile of treasure there just waiting for us. And of course, what is that? All of the good things that we have done here in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what Christ wants us to focus on. The world doesn't see those things as great. The world doesn't see those things as important. But what the world thinks is important, God thinks is an abomination. And so let's remember that as we focus every day upon these spiritual things. So what do we have to do, first of all, to think on things that are lovely? Focus on the positive. But then secondly, we need to change our thinking. If we're going to focus on things that are lovely, that means that we can't have what I like to refer to as the survivor mentality. And what is the survivor mentality? That mentality is this idea that I'm just going to try to avoid failure all the time. I'm just going to survive, so to speak. And I'm constantly trying to wrap my head around how to avoid this catastrophe or that catastrophe or avoid bad things that may happen in my life. But the problem with this survivor mentality is thinking about how to avoid failure means thinking about failure. And so you're always thinking about unlovely things, unpleasant things, and unhappy things. And the bottom line is, we do not have to do this. We simply do not have to do this. When we have this survival mentality, it also turns us toward self and selfish thinking. This survival mentality, when we pursue it, it means everything depends upon me. And I can't trust anyone else because I've got to protect myself. I've got to survive. I've got to do what it takes to take care of this, that, and the other, whatever they might be. And we tell ourselves that all the time. But the problem is, I can't anticipate everything. I can't know all of my relationships and what's going to happen. What am I going to do when something comes up that I didn't anticipate or that I didn't expect? Well, this survival mentality ends up creating so many problems in our life. It leaves God out of our lives and just focuses on self. And we don't need to be doing that. It's not thinking on things that are lovely. Instead, we need to trust God. Joshua 1 and verse 9 is such a great verse in the Bible. It's something that we really need to remember at all times. Here was Joshua about to take the children of Israel into the land of Canaan and fight wars with swords and shields and spears. And this was messy, brutal business. And yet God, he comes to Joshua and he says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." God promises to be with us. So we don't have to think about, we don't have to have that survival mentality, constantly just trying to figure out how to avoid failure at all costs, you know. God will help us with our relationships. God will help us in the things we can't anticipate. God will be with us. What do we need to do? Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 7 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. We've got to change our thinking away from that survival mentality and toward trusting in God. When we trust in God, then we are going to be able to think on things that are lovely. As long as we have that survival mentality, we're going to be constantly focused on negative things. But when we trust in God, we can think on things that are lovely. Now, this is not easy to do. It's something that we've got to constantly be aware of. And this means in our hearts, in our minds, we've got to practice everyday repentance. And what does that mean? It means that I'm constantly giving myself to God. I'm constantly taking the focus away from me and my needs and my wants and my selfish desires, and putting God in the right place in my life. Think about Psalm 51 and verse 17. And you know, this is a psalm of David. He wrote this psalm after Nathan the prophet came to him and told him that he was the man who had committed adultery and had murdered Uriah the Hittite. And he was very sorry for his sins. And he recognized that he had to make a change in his thinking. And when he wrote Psalm 51, he wrote these words: "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." That's the kind of attitude that we need every day: a broken and a contrite heart. Think about Psalm 34 and verse 18. "The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such as have a contrite spirit." That means that we are willing to repent. We're willing to change at every moment, recognizing the problems in our life and moving away from them to God's solutions. We need to accept correction. And this is a big problem for many, because many don't want to be corrected. They think that their lives are perfectly fine and normal and everything's okay, and they don't realize that they need change. We were talking about this morning in our adult Bible class how the darkness doesn't recognize the light. And this is what happens in our life when we're not open to correction. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 17 says, "He who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray." I like to think about football as a good metaphor for this, because both players, coaches, and even officials such as myself have to accept correction all the time. Officials make mistakes. We don't always get things right. And we go back in and we analyze our mistakes and try to figure out how we can get better. I know that the players are always under constant scrutiny, because you can hear the coaches yelling at them, "You're in the wrong place. Get back to the right side. Go to the left." They've got to be willing to accept correction. And the coaches too. They need to accept correction in regard to how they're coaching the team and how they can get better. Well, how much more important? If it's important for football, how much more important is it for our spiritual lives that we accept correction so that we can get better? Where do we get that correction from? The inspired Word of God. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." And so we need that correction every day. To think on things that are lovely, we've got to change our thinking. And then finally, to think on things that are lovely, we've got to model exemplary behavior. You know, if we're involved in evil things, we're not going to be thinking on lovely things. But if we're involved in good things, that's going to change our thinking. You know, a lot of times I find myself even thinking about things that maybe I shouldn't be thinking about. And I know you think about things sometimes that you shouldn't think about too. Well, what do I do in those moments? Well, I try to find something good to do. Focus on something good instead of thinking on negative, bad things. And there's so many good things that we can do in this life. If we will model exemplary behavior, that will change our thinking. We need to follow Christ. In Romans 8 and verse 29, it talks about how we need to be conformed to the image of God's Son. And that's modeling exemplary behavior. Conform to the image of God's Son. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. If we will do that, it will change our thinking. And 1 Peter 2 and verse 21 says, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Are we walking in the steps of Christ each and every day? Let's be doers of the word. And being a doer of the word means that we have God's word in our hearts and we're listening to it and we're acting on it. John 13 and verse 17, Jesus said, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. There's loveliness there. Blessing is pronounced upon those who do what Christ says. Blessed are those who keep his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Revelation 22, verse 14. And James 1, 22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And then finally, how do we model exemplary behavior? We follow Christ, we're doers of the word, and then we let our light shine. If you're having trouble focusing on things that are lovely, get out. Get involved in someone else's life. Get out into the community and start doing something good. Work with someone less fortunate than you. Get out and let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Matthew 5, 17. I like Proverbs 4 and verse 18. It says, but the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. Now the world doesn't like those who are just. It doesn't like those who are righteous. But when we are righteous and we let our light shine, then we burn bright. And the darkness is confounded. The darkness is exposed. But truth is uplifted. Paul wrote in Philippians 3, verse 17, brethren, join in following my example. And note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. Follow good examples. Let your light shine. To think on things that are lovely, we need to focus on the positive. We've got to change our thinking away from that survivor mentality and toward trusting in God. And we need to model exemplary behavior by following Christ, doing the Word of God, and letting our light shine. Think on things that are lovely. Do you need a change in thinking this morning? Do you need a fresh start to your life so that you can begin thinking on things that are lovely? Jesus Christ is the answer for you. He will change your thinking. He will bring you new things to consider and to think on, things that are lovely, and that will inform your life to do good. Maybe you're not a Christian. To become one, you need to hear God's word, because that word is what informs us. It's what changes our thinking. Hear the word of God and believe it. We've got to put our trust in it. We've got to trust God with everything. If you believe that word, repent of your sins. Repentance is part of the process. Have that broken and contrite heart so that when you change, you are moving away from evil things and toward what is good. Confess Jesus Christ as Lord and be baptized into the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Identifying with Him and saying, I'm going to let my life be conformed to His. I'm going to live in the image of Christ. That's what baptism is all about. Showing the world that we are living in the image of Christ. Maybe this morning you need to become a child of God. We can help you do that. If you need prayer to change that thinking, going away from unlovely things to things that are lovely, we'd be happy to pray for you this morning. Whatever your need may be, you can make it known right now while we stand and while we sing.